right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking
take all you want!
But why are we playing the Imperial Marches?
I don't know, there must be some big Imperial Army news coming down the pipe that we'll have to discuss.
Star Wars Episode 6?
No.
Or 9?
No.
Or whatever it is.
It would be 7.
7, whatever it is, one of them.
And the answer, still no.
Still no?
But before that, let's say that this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, Episode 177?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh my god. How did we get to 177?
Rolled.
Just like the other day, it feels like it was episode 100.
Right. A long time ago.
It's true. And we're calling this one the AT-AT Strikes Back.
All right. So do I have to wait to find out, or what's the deal? You're going to tell me now?
Well, look, I mean, the first thing we want to say is that if you have any comments or concerns or questions or things you'd like to hear us talk about here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you want to give our hotline a call.
425-920-6050.
And what was that?
Yeah, what was that?
Nothing.
What was that tweeting sound?
It was just
were your tweeter
it was
on?
An email popping up in my inbox.
I see. So
I
your phone's
mute
not
my
on
laptop.
You. I see. And as you say that, I'm muting my phone, so I'm not the next
and
ass.
I won't there because no one's going to call
whose
me.
Thing,
so.
Whose thing goes off while the show's going on. So, yes, you want to call that that's number. If you have questions, comments, concerns, something you'd like to hear us talk about, a comment about something we have talked about, by all means, you'll want to do that. And, of course, you can go over to the website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can leave comments on episodes. You can buy the T-shirt. You can check out a whole bunch of fabulous, fun things happening over
absolutely
there. Absolutely. More Studio V's yes are filmed. And hopefully we'll end up on the site eventually. We should call Production Tim after this
we
episode.
Find out what's going on.
Find out what's up with it. And yes, so a variety of things to do over there. Now, I've
yes
delayed enough. This is the big breaking news.
All
now, here's
right
the problem with the big breaking news.
It's big.
We knew this shit like 3 months ago.
Yeah. Well, we heard rumors even, I think, before that.
Well,
and then we heard, like, a sort of confirmed rumor three months ago.
Let's say what it is, and then we'll say why we should have.
Ubiquitous clandestine informants.
We do. And I'm going to name him. And, I'm not going to name him. I'm going to say exactly what happened, so therefore I'm getting nobody in any sort of trouble.
Right.
But I were I a betting man, I would have put my money on this San Diego time.
Yes,
Right. So Hasbro has announced, more than announced at this point, they've actually shown it, according to rumor, although there are no photos, which I find odd. So then I don't know if they've actually revealed it yet, but the announcement was made at Hong Kong Toy Fair, which is the big toy fair industry sort of presentation in Hong Kong. We have an American Toy Fair. It's coming up in February. For those of you that listen, you know that me and OG and other ubiquitous staff members like Just Mike this year attend Toy Fair, and we bring back reports on a variety of topics, what people are going to be. They show, the toy companies show what they're going to be releasing in the next year. We've done this for quite a number of years, and we've always had great fun at the event. Lots of great response. So great to get a little jump on what we can plan on seeing next year. And Hasbro's is usually quite the event. In fact, I think the event this year is 4 hours, 4.5 hours, something like that.
Very long.
Yeah. And apparently in Hong Kong, they've announced this year's large Star Wars vehicle. Now, they've done one a year for the last 3 years.
This will be the third one.
This will be the fourth one, sir.
Fourth one.
Fourth
Falcon.
One. First was the
transport.
First was that Walker thing. Right. It was kind of a Clone Wars sort of Walker thing.
Okay.
Right. Then was the Falcon.
Right.
Then was the giant wheeled tank.
Right.
And now they've gone back to the classic legacy collection, I guess you could say. And they are redoing or have redone the AT-AT. And again, for those of you not familiar, the AT-AT is the giant four-legged walker, clearly most clearly seen in Empire Strikes
Back. What do they call it in something Dark Side? It's as long as they don't have any robotic camels.
Yes,
or something
right,
like that.
Right. And an ill-conceived piece of hardware, in my opinion, being that they were tripped up by little flying bugs with ropes off the back. But that said, tons of rumors abound about this toy. Now, let's hit some of the major ones. Number one, it's going to be, they're calling it larger than life. So one would assume from this that it is much larger than the original. The original, of course, was about, what would you call that? About 2.5 feet maybe or so. I'm guessing this one's got to be at least 3 and change.
It seems to be with some of these large scale pieces that they've been putting out that they're actually making an attempt at scale.
Right.
Okay.
And we saw that with the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, I mean, that was great. Enormous, but
awesome.
Yes.
Right. So with that, they have also upgraded some of the old style features, like the cannons on the front will be there. They will have lights and sound. There'll be key phrases, lots of those type of things from the past that you may recall from the past. In addition to that, there will be a speeder bike that I don't know if it launches or if it just has some sort of place within the walker.
Now, that wasn't in the movie, right?
I think in the special edition, you see Imperial speeder bikes skitting around during that, I think.
Is it a modified bike or is it just a regular speeder?
No, it's a speeder bike, but it's white. They actually released in the Big Kev product archive over here in the Imperial Army display in Studio A. There's actually, this past year, they released them in a box set, two of them.
Yes, they're calling it, it was called the Hoth.
Yes,
speeder bike.
The Hoth speeder bike. So one assumes that the speeder bike that's going to be included is a Hoth speeder bike. No word on whether a scout trooper is going to come with it or what kind of figures, if any, will be included, like a pilot or
a
gunner.
Driver would be
well, yeah,
appropriate.
At a driver. There's also the commander AT-AT Commander could also come with it. So there are a variety of things that we still don't know about the piece. What we do know is that it's humongous. It's being called larger than life, and it is very, very, very exciting. Now, a little quick history about the story here. They teased the fact that they would be doing a larger vehicle this year. People thought it might not happen because the economy is so bad and so on and so forth. And we, of course, hoped that it would, considering the track record on the large vehicles is tremendous. They've been very successful, very great pieces. We've talked about all of them here on this show. And to get one from the Classic Collection, of course, very exciting. And Star Wars line coordinator, I don't know if that's his official title. The guy at Hasbro who's in charge of Star Wars is a fine gentleman named Daryl DePriest. And although he would not answer directly any inquiries about what the large-scale vehicle might be, he did, I'd say, leak enough. Maybe leak's not right. What's the right word?
Hint?
Tease?
Hint. Good hint. What was that?
Just tease.
Like? Tease. Tease. Hint. He did imply.
There you go.
Imply enough information for one to make the conclusion that the AT-AT was the likely choice for large vehicle release this year. So that's very exciting news for Star Wars people of all ages and generations. If you're from the sort of me and OG generation. Now, have we defined these generations?
No.
Right? I think I'm the original generation.
Right. I think I'm original
generation. You're the tail end, because didn't your dad bring you at 2 to see Jedi or something?
Well, 78 I was born. So right. I saw Empire, right, and Jedi
in
80, both in the theater.
And in 80, whatever that was, 2.
Yeah, I saw both of those in the theater.
So you saw both of those in the theater. So theoretically, in their original run. So theoretically, you're that generation. Just Mike, you're from the, I guess, are you from the second generation, did we decide?
I think the 1.5.
How old were you? Well, wait. Now, you didn't see the originals in the release, but you saw them on VHS.
Correct. Before there was any, even a whisper of 1, 2, 3.
So before the special editions or before
the special editions, I saw
how old were you when episode 1 came out?
Well, 1999 it came out?
I guess thereabouts.
So I was, I'd say about 12 or 13.
Okay, so yeah, I'd say he's solidly like 1.5.
Okay.
Right? The people who had no original exposure but had VHS exposure.
Right.
And then...
Okay. And new, then second generation.
Second generation would be, I guess, people who saw...
Special editions
in the theater for the first time.
Right.
The first time they saw them. Or I guess we could probably put in that category people who saw the second trilogy. 1, 2, and 3, right? Or do we call that? No. I'd say that's solidly second generation. I say third generation is kids now who are watching Clone Wars.
And George Lucas believes that as well. Yeah. He says there are people that watch, kids that watch the Clone Wars that have never seen the movies.
Right. And that's, and he said that on Jon Stewart, yes. Right? Yeah. Isn't that the one where he pretty much was
whatever.
Like, go fuck yourself?
Yeah.
Pretty much. I'll do what I want.
Yeah.
I'll do what I want. I'm George Lucas.
He's a free range chicken.
George Lucas was sitting front row, by the way, at the Golden Globes.
Just
and I'm just like, why is he there? Is he winning an award? Why is he there? And I thought maybe he was winning Cecil B. DeMille, but I thought I had heard that was...
Scorsese.
Scorsese, and it was. I just thought that was weird.
He was at Paul McCartney's table, too.
Well, sir, you got to put two giants at the same table.
There you go.
Right.
Beatles and Star Wars, sir.
Right.
But anyway, I think that's very exciting news. It does give me hope that the Hasbro Star Wars line is going to continue in earnest. We've actually seen also from Hong Kong, looks like the business model for Star Wars has a full contingency of special events and releases and things. So it could be a good year for Star Wars toy collectors.
There you go.
So there it is. So I wanted to start off with that because I'm an Imperial Army builder and it was important to me.
What do you think the price range will be?
There's a lot of debate going on about that.
What was the Falcon?
The Falcon was 100.5.
All right, so this is going to be either the same or more.
Or more.
It's going to be 2.
Well, I'm hoping it's big enough to justify it being 2. If that puppy's like 4 feet tall. Now, granted, now mind you, it doesn't matter how tall it is anymore because in the old days, those legs didn't come off. So you had to box that thing, you know, you had to box it based on its standing height. It wasn't the biggest toy Hasbro ever produced. It may have been at the time one of the biggest they ever produced, but I think actually that ends up being, I think that G.I. Joe shuttlecraft.
Yep.
I think that may be the biggest toy they ever produced. That thing was, that box was like 4.5 feet tall. but I think now with the way that they're able to do these things, I think that AT-AT can be packed reasonably small. There's not a lot of intricacy to it because lest we forget, the AT-AT on the inside, the old toy pretty much was just like, you know, you, the idea was is that you stood your troops in there. It was a troop transport.
Right.
You know, so the object, armored transport, right? Isn't that what it was? Something, yes. Armored transport. And the idea was that you filled the back. It was filled with the pegs, and you stood your troopers on there. And, you know, it actually had the control handle for the head in the back with the button to make the sounds and all that stuff was all back there. So theoretically, it's not like there's a lot to it.
All-terrain armored transport.
Thank you, yes. It's not like there's a lot to it, so I don't think it's not like the Falcon where every little thing is intricate and there's lights and sounds and things for everything in that new ship. In this one, I think it's a lot more simple, and therefore, I don't think the price point has to be much greater than the Falcon, but I think the size could be, if everyone's following me.
I feel you.
I'm going to get down off this soapbox because there must be other news other than my fascination with the AT-AT.
It's kind of unhealthy, actually, but that's okay.
You're just jealous.
No.
That's okay.
That was your bit of news. Well, we got some news for Just Mike tonight.
Hey, and speaking of Just Mike, remind me to tell you how Matt used to be a Star Wars completist, and now he's a poser. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
I'm not a poser.
Zing.
Just saying.
I'm sensible.
I came to my senses is really what it is. Just Mike, as we all know, you know, longest second-run producer consecutively being here on this show now.
5 months.
5 months. Hasn't missed an episode yet. Good for you.
Thank you, sir.
Big Green Lantern fan.
Big guy.
This
so
is
you
true.
Must be happy to know that Sinestro has been cast Mark Strong.
Absolutely.
Now, that casting is confirmed?
That is confirmed.
Do you know who Mark Strong is?
From Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, he was the bad guy in Sherlock Holmes. He was also in Rock and Rolla.
Yes, he was.
He is a very intense dude.
And that you need intensity for Sinestro.
Seriously.
And also, there's speak of that Sinestro may not be a villain at all in this movie. They might not even hint at him being a villain in the movie.
You know, he's in like a billion things, by the way.
Right Mark now, Strong?
Mark Strong, yeah. Yeah. That you would know. Stardust, Sunshine, Sherlock Holmes. He's going to be in Kick-Ass. He's in the new Robin Hood that's coming out.
Uh-huh.
He's in John Carter of Mars that's coming out. That just started filming.
Is he playing John Carter?
No. Tristan and Isolde, Syriana.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's been like everything.
I think he's terrific. Wow, what an intensity. Especially in that Sherlock Holmes movie. When I heard he was going to be in the Sherlock Holmes movie initially, I thought he might be Sherlock Holmes adversary Dr. Moriarty, because that kind of intensity would warrant that. But I'm glad to hear that he's going to be Sinestro in any event. Yeah, and I think just Mike, now refresh my memory, Sinestro, not a bad guy.
Not when it starts, not at all. He's in fact the most praised Green Lantern of them all. He was thought of to be the best Green Lantern.
What happens there?
Amansur dies when he comes to Earth. And it depends, because I believe, did it say that they're going with the Emerald?
I haven't heard anything like that. I don't know where they're going.
The storyline they're going with is not the current one, origin-wise. They're going with the one from the early 90s when they kind of reimagination of, that's the first time I've ever said that.
It's good. You almost did it right. You want to try it again? Okay. Maybe you can get the jingle.
Reimagination.
There it is.
There it is.
First time I have ever said it of the Hal Jordan character, and how basically Sinestro finds this yellow element, which is how he creates his yellow ring, and it corrupts him and it becomes a villain. But he goes against the Guardians, basically. He's a rebel. And on his home planet, he's fascist, and it's great. The transition from the top to the bottom is, I hope they go with it, man. It would be great. It would really, really be great.
All right, Mark Strong. That's good news.
Tim Burton has sold his soul to Disney.
Yawn.
He's already announced his next Disney project.
Yeah, what now?
Maleficent. It's going to be a Sleeping Beauty story told from Maleficent's standpoint.
Live action?
I suppose, yeah. I haven't heard, but yeah, I believe it's planned to be live action.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm okay with that. I'm not terribly upset with that.
Meh. You just have to get through Alice in Wonderland. That thing looks like a wacko fest.
I think it's going to be great. Alice in Wonderland, I think it's going to be really kind of trippy good.
Maybe it's just me, but. Maybe we can, you know, maybe we could smoke some illegal drugs and then go see it.
Bruce Campbell versus Frankenstein. The follow-up to My Name is Bruce.
Oh, really?
Yup.
The follow-up to My Name is Bruce?
That's awesome.
And it's called Bruce Campbell versus Frankenstein?
Frankenstein.
Okay. Any news?
No, that's it. Bruce Campbell kind of leaked it that's the next project, which surprised a lot of people because I think a lot of people were expecting Bubba Nosferatu, which I think has been long backburnered at this point. But yeah, Bruce versus Frankenstein is next. I liked Bruce. I liked My Name is Bruce.
Where's the new Evil Dead movie?
Well, Sam Raimi does have some free time.
That's what I said. This would be a perfect time before he gets hip deep in WoW to just churn out an Evil Dead really quick.
Well, since we brought up his name.
Oh, God, what now?
They have picked the new director, the man to step into Sam Raimi's shoes.
Cast is not a bad word, I would say there.
Is he cast, though?
No, I'm sure, but it's not inappropriate, but totally there are more appropriate words.
Mark Webb is the man who's going to be filling in the shoes to reboot the Spider-Man franchise.
I'm so sick of hearing about the Spider-Man. I'm not even a big Spider-Man fan to begin with. I like the three movies. That's kind of where my Spider-Man fandom sort of ends. And now I'm sick of Spider-Man. I'm just sick of him.
Well, you're going to be hearing lots and lots about it because they're still pushing for the regular... their scheduled release date, which means this has to move really quickly. You know, they have to announce casting soon, I would assume, and then they have to get right into it.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Spider-Man?
I don't know.
That's been the talk online.
He looks like 3 years old, doesn't he? And he's like 60.
Was he in
500
Days
of
Summer?
He got nominated for Golden Globe.
Golden Globe, yeah.
Yep.
Didn't win. That Robert Downey Jr. won that, didn't he? For Sherlock Holmes. Also, a Sherlock Holmes sequel was announced, I think.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
I think they've greenlit that. So wonderful.
So, for those of you who are wondering, what is poor Tobey Maguire going to be doing now that he's not going to be playing Spider-Man? You can rest assured that he will not be portraying Bilbo Baggins, as the internet rumors would have you believe.
Oh, why? Did he come on and say, I'm not going to do it?
No, actually, Peter Jackson and Guillermo del Toro said that was just rumor.
Okay.
So, there you go.
But
that was one of those big swirling around, because everybody wants to know who's going to be cast, especially because casting notices went out for the role of Bilbo. They're actively seeking one. So. Right.
And I think it's fair to say at this point that our website idea... PurfoyForBilbo.com. I think we should launch JamesPurfoyForBilbo.com.
All right. No.
God, you don't think he should be Bilbo?
No, I don't have a problem with James Purfoy. I like James Purfoy.
Well, then what's your problem?
No, I just don't want to launch another website.
Too many now?
Yeah.
Speaking of websites being launched, you know what's coming soon?
I don't believe it.
Big Kev Eats Stuff.
Ooh. Hullabaloo. I'm calling Bravo Sierra.
Big Kev Eats Stuff. Featuring Just Mike.
Uh-huh.
I will be every step of the way. I will be right beside you.
Yes!
That's good for you, sir.
Finally gonna happen.
Proud of you.
I have to get through this whole wedding business.
Right.
And then
right.
I can concentrate.
Well, at least another several months.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying it's back on the stove.
Okay.
It may be still on the back burner. But
right.
It's back on the stove.
You're reheating it at this point.
No.
Big Kev's Eat Stuff, leftovers.
No, it's just, it's back on the stove. All right. I haven't turned the dial.
Oh, okay.
But it's back on the stove.
It's back on the stove.
Yeah. Right. Of course, my stove has like 12 burners.
It does
so
have, it does
I gotta
have a lot
like,
of burners.
You know, There's a lot of them in the back, too. I don't know how to... It's like a V shape. You know what I mean? Like this, where it's got just a couple in the front and then a whole bunch in the back.
The back?
Yeah. That's how mine works.
Some images leaked this week from the set of Predators, one of which was some Predators. And here's a crazy-ass shock. They looked exactly like Predators.
Whoa.
Did you see that picture?
No.
Oh, my God. It's a picture of Predator. Look, it's three Predators standing there. And I'm like, oh, I'm kind of interested. Maybe they've revamped them. Maybe there's something unique about them. And I pulled it up, and I was like, yep, that's Predator.
So it's pretty much just another Predator movie.
It's a prequel to Predator.
Okay.
But they look like Predators, which really isn't a shock.
Well, that's good, because at least they didn't fuck it up. The Stan Winston design on those characters was awesome, so.
That is the good news. The good news is at least they didn't try to modernize it. No, there's no bad news.
Well, you said that's the good news. I figured there may be a flip side to the coin.
No bad news.
Are you a little ill today, sir?
I'm a little sick. A little congested.
You got that H1N1, D.
I do, actually.
Mike is susceptible.
Yeah. You got the HIV, sir?
That's how you're going to get rid of him as producer, aren't you? You're going to disease him out
of
here.
That's
right. There you go.
Hope you ready to die, motherfucker.
I'm close.
Also, image leaked online this week. I guess this isn't really a leak, but it was released today. The new Tron Legacy poster featuring a yellow light cycle.
No, didn't see that.
It's very nice. Oh, I emailed it to you.
Is it nice?
It looks like a light cycle, it looks good.
I got to have every poster from Tron.
Okay.
I gotta go to shows. I gotta start looking for posters. I want every single Tron 2 thing.
Well, the image looks great. It's a yellow light cycle, so
that's awesome.
You'll see it, and fans of the show will see it. They probably are looking at it right now.
Actually, many of the images, many of the topics we talk about here have associated imagery, which you can see if you're listening to us on iTunes or in QuickTime. The images will pop right up on your iPod or on your computer or whatever. But if you don't have any of those devices or aren't using any of those methods, you can always go over to the website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, and you can access the picture gallery for episode 177 and see images related to the things that we're talking about here on the show. Yes, it's true.
Well, unless you have more news, I think it's time for our first break.
All right. With that, we'll take our very, very first break. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 177. The AT-AT strikes back.
Combo breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Piaget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care.
Hey, this is Jules Stay from Firefly.
Hey, this is Marina Baccarin from Firefly.
Hey, this is Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy and Firefly and Serenity and some other stuff, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you geek.
Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 177. The AT-AT strikes back.
Yes, thank you. What's it been? 6 whole minutes since I said it?
I'm sick.
My excuses.
No, I'm falling apart over here.
Poor wreck.
I am.
Poor wretched human being.
All right.
No sympathy.
Let's move forward.
Geek Stuff. DVD news.
DVDs that came out this week are few.
There was a handful. Yeah, yeah. Handful.
Okay. Our few
means
of interest.
Oh, right. Okay, okay.
How about that? What do you got? I got nothing.
The Gamer.
Oh, yeah. That's Gerard...
Butler.
Butler. And some kid. And he's like, is he controlling him or something?
Yeah.
Some sort of a what you call it, fashion? Like a like Running Man?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of like a Running Man-y I actually really want to see it, so I'll probably throw it on my Netflix queue. I don't know if they're going to run out and get it, but...
Okay, you let me know how it is.
Whiteout with Kate Beckinsale.
Yes.
Really, because Kate Beckinsale. That's
in a whiteout situation means she has a lot of clothes on, so I got to say that's iffy.
All right. Defying Gravity, season one.
What's that?
This was the show, was it on NBC maybe? It was an astronaut sci-fi show, and then I think it got postponed, but they're calling, the DVD is the complete first season. I thought that it got canceled, but maybe it didn't.
Gravity, I don't know.
Yeah, it was actually, the first couple episodes actually weren't too bad. I did check them out. So.
Never heard of it.
And then, to wrap it up nicely this week, Smokin' Aces 2.
You know, Smokin' Aces 1, good I thought was a movie. Pretty good flick. Smokin' Aces 2 has virtually nobody in it from the first one.
Vinnie Jones.
Yeah, except Vinnie Jones, which really is almost the reason to see any movie except X3.
You see, oh, you don't watch Chuck. He's in an episode of, was it Chuck? Yeah, he was in an episode of Chuck that was really, really funny.
Oh, yeah? Well, good. Smokin' Aces 2, direct to DVD. That's got to tell you something, folks.
Right. And that's about it.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics to check out this week. Also, not a lot of those, but still you should check some of them out. From DC, it's The Brave and the Bold, The Atom and the Joker.
Cool cover.
Yeah, it's an interesting cover. It says Lost Stories of Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. Does that mean it doesn't have a place in continuity, Just Mike? Is that how that works?
I haven't picked it up yet.
That's a weird sort of thing, isn't it?
It sounds like a weird sort of thing.
Written by J. Michael Straczynski.
Yeah.
One of your favorites.
Wow, really? Jeez.
I like J. Michael Straczynski.
Well, you're not known for your taste, sir.
I know, I'm friends with you.
Good point. I'll drink to that. Jad Hardin and Justiniano are the pencilers of the book. Interesting little book. I've never read really Brave and Bold. I picked it up because it's the Joker. So, yeah, check it out. Maybe it'll catch on and more people will start reading it. Captain America from Marvel, number 602. And guess what? Second feature starting this issue, Nomad. Well, I guess the House of Ideas is copying off of DC. Keeping up with the Joneses, are you, Marvel Comics?
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Unbelievable. What an ass. Well, in any event, Captain America has been particularly good lately. So,
I believe their best title, actually.
I'd say it's probably definitely one of the best. And Steve Rogers, any second, right?
Yeah.
Is going to pop back on the scene. At least that's what I think. So. Of course, they're really kind of milking it out as much as they can. Also for Marvel this week, it's Uncanny X-Men 520, part of their Nation X storyline, continuing on here. A lot of ads for this Ultimate X thing happening with Jeff Loeb and Art Adams, which right there is a combination making me read the book.
Me too.
I'm kind of even a little sketchy about what it's about.
Not many people know what it's about.
I'm hopping right in with Jeff Loeb and Art Adams, for God's
sake. They've kept a lot of that secret as to what that storyline is about.
Well, anyway, the Uncanny X-Men story continues on with this X-Nation storyline, as I said. So there it is. You've been reading X-Men for a while. You know what's going on. If you haven't, well...
There are ways.
If you haven't, honestly, there's a catch-up page in the front. Previously in Uncanny X-Men.
Nice.
So, of course, because you need that. Thank you, Joe. From Dynamite Entertainment, it's Project Superpowers, Chapter 2, Number 6, Team Superpowers versus the Super Mystery Men. So...
All right.
This book is out of fucking control now. with where it's going. Plot, cover, and art direction by Alex Ross, which of course makes it great. Plot and script by Jim Kruger, friend of this program. Yeah, and a lot of great main story art by Edgar Salazar. Main story colors by Ivan Nunez. There's a lot of great people working on the book. You gotta say, if you say nothing else about the book, the art is terrific. The story is terrific. It's just kind of, it seems to me a little all over the place.
All right.
That's all, but you can still check it out. It has a great Alex Ross cover, which is always a good thing. And the Just Mike pick of the week is from Image Comics. It's Cowboy Ninja Viking.
What?
Number 3.
Oh, that's right. You guys have been reading that.
Yes. And it was, this book is absolutely...
It's out of control.
It's out of control. It
really in a good way or in a bad way?
In a good way.
All
it's right. really
in
good.
In a good way. This is issue 3. The art is black and white, but they pick one color each issue to do sort of...
Highlights?
Yeah, highlights. Is that the right? Toning, right? Is that, that might be the word? Toning? Mm-hmm. This one is green, continues this incredibly funny story about this character, the Cowboy Ninja Viking. Check it out from Image Comics. We've also mentioned, it's 350, by the way, but we also mentioned it's a slightly larger
correct? Yeah, it's larger
size.
Format, yeah.
I could use a magazine bag, no problem.
Does it fit in a magazine bag?
Yeah.
Oh, you've been bagging them, have you?
Mm-hmm.
AJ Lieberman is the writer. Art and Tones by Riley Rossimo. I got to get this guy, Riley Rossimo, to do a sketch because I think the artwork in here is really
so
tremendous.
Do I, yeah. And you know, that's only 4 issues.
Yes.
It's ending after the 4th.
Oh, yeah, but that doesn't mean it's going away forever.
That's true.
Could be a brand new series if
I
it's
hope
this
so.
Popular. But you never know.
Nope, never.
I picked up a trade also I wanted to share with everybody. We talked about this coming out, and now it has. It's the Star Wars Omnibus. They don't volume these anymore. So it's just Star Wars Omnibus Shadows of the Empire.
Okay. And what right. does that collect exactly?
This collects. Now, let me just make sure. I'm going to flip to the front of the book because I want to make sure that I am saying the right thing. It contains Shadows of the Empire, which I guess is the complete series. This volume collects. Ah, I found the exact information.
Nice.
Star Wars Shadows of the Empire 1-6. Star Wars Mara Jade by the Emperor's Hand 1-6. And extra pages from Star Wars Mara Jade by the Emperor's Hand trade paperback collection. And Star Wars Shadows of the Empire Evolution 1-5.
That's a good little chunk of stuff.
That's a good chunk of stuff. And in a little gray matter text on the back. In the time between the events of The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker, and Chewbacca attempt to rescue Han Solo from Boba Fett while the criminal Prince Xizor
who knew?
And Darth Vader make plans to control or destroy the leaders of the Rebel Alliance. Shadows of the Empire was a multimedia Star Wars event, a film without a film, in which a major story was told across a series of novels, comic books, role-playing games, video games, and trading cards. Shadows even had its own soundtrack. Do you remember that?
I do.
Do you remember the buzz about that? It was a great thing that... you know what's unfortunate? There was no animation at this time because this animated would have been huge.
Yeah.
Been a huge
well,
deal.
It was so huge because it was the first time ever at that time
right.
that there was something that was being accepted as...
Canon.
As canon.
Right.
You know, none of the other comics, none of the other books were considered canon. This was, you know, this was it. This was the woo, it's official.
Right. It was actually something that, it was a piece of time that's missing from the story that was actually filled in. We don't have those yet. We don't have that yet, or if we're ever going to get it, between Star Wars and Empire.
Correct.
Don't have that. We do have between Empire and Episode 1, sorta. Not, I'm sorry, in the reverse.
Yeah.
Between Episode 3, no, between Episode 3 and Episode 4. Right, between Attack of the Clone, or
New Hope.
Rise of the Sith, Revenge of the Sith,
right.
and New Hope.
Right.
That we have, more or less, in the, what was the game? Force Unleashed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and we have The space between 2 and 3, Attack of the Clones and Rise or Revenge of the Sith, Clone that's Wars, a Clone Wars, right? And that's immense and going on and getting ever longer.
Right.
So we have that. So there's still some things. We don't know. We don't have in between 1 and 2. But there's a huge block of time there, obviously, by the way people aged or were aged, one would say. So there's still some parts of that story that we're missing. And, of course, the Thrawn trilogy takes place after Return of the Jedi.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a solid continuity being built. Star Wars Shadows of the Empire was a huge part of that. So check that out from Dark Horse. Nice, thick book. Only going to run you $25. So there it is.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Products.
Yes.
This week.
In addition to the AT-AT coming back, a product we talked about earlier, which we do not have or have not seen
right.
yet. We'll see it at Toy Fair. I'm very excited. The one thing we do want to talk about this week, brand new from DC Direct. It's another experimental sort of thing. Now, what have we decided to call these? Now, they're calling them Blamoids.
Funky, chunky fun.
Yes, but what do we have a name for something that is generically the same body but painted and designed to be different characters? This is like the vinyl movement.
It is. It's right? kind of like on the outskirts of like the vinyl movement, but I don't know. It's yeah, I don't know.
Well, essentially what they've done is they've taken a sort of generic body.
Right. Designer, urban, vinyl, something designer thing.
They've taken that and they've made several DC characters out of it. And apparently they really feel like these are going to catch on because they've already have four series of these planned.
They do.
But first series consisted of modern Batman, the Joker, Green Lantern, Sinestro, Aquaman, and Firestorm.
Right.
Which I got to say, the Firestorm one is cute.
It's cute. It just has a little tiny flame popping out
of his head. Like we said, they have generic body. They're all individual and different in different ways. The Joker's hair is a little crazy. Sinestro has a big head. Aquaman just has a poofy hairdo with no eyes, which is very funny. Firestorm, like we said, has a little flame popping out of his head. They're slightly articulated. It looks like you can move the arms. I don't know for what purpose, but you can do that. And maybe the head, you may be able to turn the head also, it looks like. Yeah, they're just a nice little, I think when you have them all together, I think they'll make a cute collection. Kind of looks like somebody took a weirdo action figure and slammed it downward.
Yeah.
Right?
I do have a concern, though.
Okay.
That already we have two Batmans in the first three or four waves.
Well, let's talk about what's coming in series two. Is Superman, Lex Luthor,
Mr. Luthor,
Darkseid, not Otis, Batgirl, Plastic Man, and the Creeper.
Right. It's a good arrangement of characters.
Yeah, that's a good arrangement of characters there. And then series three, this is down the road. This is, I don't think they shit the bed, sir. Classic Batman.
I just don't think we need two Batmans this early in.
Robin, Two-Face, Wildcat, which is interesting, Cyborg, and Catwoman. And then series four, which I'm guessing is quite a ways down, is Brainiac, Hawkman, who looks really cute, the Demon Etrigan, the Flash, Reverse Flash, and Martian Manhunter. Why are you looking up there?
I was looking to see who was in that. Who was
who's
in that
the original seven?
Well, because I noticed that there's no Wonder Woman piece in here.
Correct.
Right? And you have two Batmans, but no Green Arrow.
That's why you're upset because there's no Green.
There's
Arrow.
There's no Green Arrow. That's ridiculous. A prominent character, an important character, one of my personal favorites.
But as Just Mike and I revealed, there's apparently some stuff going to go down with Green Arrow in the upcoming months that. Is none too pretty, sir.
No, sir.
Nice.
No, not the kind of stuff that you maybe want to make an action figure out of him. Kind of.
Death of Green Arrow?
No. because we've already been through that.
Oh, no, but
there's some stuff that's happening. And
is he coming out?
No. If that were the case, I wouldn't even hint that
the
at
green
you.
Shiny
because
arrow.
Because the moment it happened, I would so want to rub it in your eye. So I wouldn't blow it by hinting at that now. No, it isn't that. They're cute. They're collectible. They're not that bad. They're like, looks like they're about 3.5 inches maybe. Very collectible, very designer-like, if you will. And going to run you, I think they're 10 or 12 bucks, something like that. Not too bad. So there it is. It's Blamoids from DC Direct. Go over to dccomics.com/DC Direct for more info on those.
All right.
Yeah. There it is. You're really upset about the...
Yeah, I mean, you know, how do you not have an important, prominent character like Green Arrow?
Oh, Matt, I hate to cut you off, but that sounds like our D&D intro music, and that means it's time for our D&D update of the week. We are following with great pride and great joy the 4th edition of Dungeons & Dragons coming out from our friends at Wizards of the Coast. To check out tonight's product or other products, go over to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. Tonight we're going to talk about one of the latest books to come out. It's called The Plane Below, Secrets of the Elemental Chaos. Now, this is another plane of existence, right? OG, isn't that how that works?
Yes.
The planar thing, the different planes.
It's too...
it always confused me.
It's too complicated for me.
It's so weird. I'd rather just play, like, you know, on, like, one place.
That's what I'm screaming.
That's what I'm saying.
I know. I agree. We're in agreement.
For people who have the desire for the adventure in other planes of existence, this one will not disappoint. A hotbed of adventure awaits... In the rolling maelstrom of the elemental chaos, a tumultuous plane of primordials, titans, elementals, slads, which is always a word that bugs me, and demons from the city of brass to the Githziri monastery, Zerthandlun, to the spiraling depths of the abyss. Adventure lurks behind every lava waterfall. Across every icy battlefield and beyond every raging lightning storm. So there it is. Book contains new monsters, adventure hooks, encounters, hazards, everything for a DM to incorporate the plane here, the elemental plane in your adventure, in your campaign, if that's something you want to do. I think every little bit of these. These supplements. I always think there's something that you can pull out of here as a DM to use. Now, I don't know exactly what that might be in all cases, but I always think that if you look and read and find, you can find some little nugget that you can pull out of each and every one of these books. And, you know, maybe your characters aren't ready to travel to a different plane of existence, but, you know... As wacky things do occur, you might want to give it a wacky turn. And of course, discovering the secrets of the elemental chaos, the plane below, might be just the thing you as a DM is looking for. Going to run you about $30. It's a great price for all the fabulous information contained therein. And yeah.
All right.
Any comments, OG?
No. No, it's the planar thing kind of throws me for a loop. But
well, I
but you know what? I'm a fan of the D&D, so
right.
You know, I'm not going to knock it. For some people, it's great. For me, maybe not so much.
And we have upcoming. We have several books that you will be interested in, OG. I'm not going to tip my hand on what they are, but they are coming up, so we'll keep an eye on those. And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D! Warriors that terrify. It's D&D.
Why don't we take our final break?
Yes, let's do that.
Come back with the wrap-up.
Right, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 177, The AT-AT Strikes Back.
Hi, everyone. This is Mark.
No.
No,
stop
no.
it. Do it right.
this is Mr. Fantastic.
There you go.
Producer of Geek Stuff. Check out the home site at www.bigkevsgeekstuff.com, where you can download each episode, check out image galleries, and drop us your comments each and every week. That's bigkevsgeekstuff.com. I fucking hate you guys.
Hey, this is David Naughton from An American Werewolf in London, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 177. Something.
Oh, my God. The AT-AT strikes back.
The AT-AT strikes back. Dude, I'm falling apart over here. It's rough.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Other than the larger-than-life AT-AT, tonight we talked about Sinestro casting, Tim Burton's next Disney product, Bruce Campbell versus Frankenstein, Spider-Man has a director, Sherlock Holmes has a sequel, Predators look like Predators, and the light cycles are yellow.
Good, you managed to amble your way all the way through that.
God, that was sad. I felt. I thought
now, why don't you tell us what DVDs we discussed tonight?
Out on DVD this week, The Gamer, White Out with Kate Beckinsale, Defying Gravity Season 1, and Smokin' Aces 2 with Vinnie Jones.
Hey, you can relax now, because in comics this week, we talked about Cowboy Ninja Viking number 3. Project Superpowers, Chapter 2, Number 6. Uncanny X-Men, 520. Captain America, 602. And Brave and the Bold, The Atom and the Joker. It's actually number 31, which you may have neglected to say earlier. We also talked about the Star Wars Omnibus Shadows of the Empire trade from Dark Horse. Collects a whole bunch of things that you're going to want to check out from Dark Horse Comics.
In our product review segment tonight, we talked about DC Direct's Blamoids.
Yes, Blamoids Season 1. And, six characters in line.
I have a solution.
Yeah?
I think that we should ask George and Eileen from October Toys to tell us what they would call this. This is like their specialty. Oh,
that's a good idea.
They should let us know, and then we'll report back to you what they think these should be classified
Let's get an answer from George and Hot Eileen from October Toys about what exactly they would call that.
That's a
very good idea.
See, I'm thinking. I'm sick, and I'm dying, but I'm thinking.
I like them. Those are good people.
Let's get the last bit out of him before he dies. And out of OG, I meant, not George.
Yeah, I know what you meant. I'm going away.
In our D&D update tonight, we talked about The Plane Below, Secrets of the Elemental Chaos supplement book for you to check out. To check out this or other D&D products, go over to dndinsider.com, letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com.
Don't forget, if you want to talk about or comment on anything we talked about tonight on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you can give our hotline a call and leave us a voicemail, 425-920-6050.
Right, and you actually have only one more week to go over to apple.com/trailers and search out and watch the trailer for Hot Tub Time Machine.
They can really watch it wherever they
Well, they could, yes.
It,
But you do not want the Red Band trailer. Repeat, do not want the Red Band trailer. The original trailer is much funnier. Now, that said, you want to hit the hotline with your comments about Hot Tub Time Machine, and you will win a fabulous prize from this program.
Nice.
So there's that.
I think that is about it. Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. We have all of our episodes. Some live from Studio V. T-shirts are still for sale. You can also check us out on Twitter, BK Geek Stuff, if you want to follow the show. Geek Stuff OG, if you want to follow myself. Just Mike, BKGS, if you want to follow Just Mike. And I think that's it.
We're gonna wrap
nobody's
it up.
Following me.
I have an account.
That's right. I'm not a Twitter person.
I could go over some Twitter. Though.
You're a tweet.
That's it.
And with that, Just Mike, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 177, the At Strikes Back?
Christina Hendricks got some bazangas.
And on that note, we cue the music.
We would all have learned to sing.